Proverbs chapter 1. We read in our scripture reading from chapter 2 for a reason, because I want you to see one clear verse there, which Cliff so well stated that there is a wisdom from God. 2:6, he read, "For the Lord gives wisdom." There is a wisdom that comes from God that we really need, and which we have as believers. It's amazing, this wisdom that comes from God that gives us perspective on this life, and we'll be talking about this in a few minutes together. But the subject of wisdom is a very interesting subject. You can go on the internet and get all kinds of information. There's some individuals called Will and Guy's Wise Words of Wisdom, and you've heard that. These are their words of wisdom, Will and Guy's. You've heard the early bird gets the worm. They said, well, the early worm gets eaten. And then they also said, they're real thinkers, these guys, the second mouse gets the cheese. Right? Another one they had was, even though I have pains, plural, I don't have to be one. Are these guys all right or what? Yeah, they're all right. To cheer yourself up, you should try cheering someone else up. And they're okay. You know, they're good. But I'll tell you what. I was looking at their list, and it's long. I was looking at nothing compared to Scripture. I don't care. You take the wisdom of man and giving application to things that people can do, and there's a lot of good things that have been said over the years, but there's no comparison with the written Word of God. Listen to some of these proverbs that are familiar to you. 9:9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wise. Teach a just person, and he will increase in learning. Here's another one, 11:25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered. 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. 16:32, boy, this is a good one. I remember being reminded of this one in seminary by Dr. Charles Ryrie. He said, boy, this verse is powerful. It's very powerful. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So you see, when you have control, you're functioning better than a military general who can take a city. God wants us. That's wisdom from above, isn't it? To have self-control. That's what that man did not have yesterday, who had that armored car. And you know the amazing thing about that? He shot up the front of the police station. He shot up police cars, plural. And no one was hurt. No one was hurt. No standers by, no policemen. Do you think God's hand might have been in that a little bit? I really do. In fact, some of the comments this morning were amazing, absolutely amazing. The book of Proverbs is an awesome book. The word proverb comes from a word which can be broken up by saying pro and verba, four words. F-O-R, four words. In other words, it can be short sayings in the place of many words. Instead of many words to make statements, there are short statements in the place of many words. Brief capsules of truth. The purpose for the book of Proverbs comes out very clearly in verses 1 through 4, if you'll follow these with me. Notice how Solomon writes real clearly. 1 through 4, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. Why does he write this? So that to know wisdom and instruction. Some translations have discipline there. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. I'm going to read down through 6. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Very clearly stated why Solomon wrote guided by the Holy Spirit, so that we might know wisdom and instruction. I'm going to repeat this more than once, but the Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah, which comes from a word which means skill. And the idea is that God wants us to have skill in living before Him. And that's where this divine wisdom comes from. When we receive Christ, and we'll talk about this as we close out, it is amazing the wisdom that He gives to us as His children and as believers, to know wisdom and instruction. In verses 1 through down through verse 5, he's going to talk about moral discernment and discretion. There are some things which are off limits to the believer. There are things which are on limits for the believer. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, and then later on in chapters 1 and 2, he's going to talk about moral discernment. And then also he talks about mental clarity and perception, how God wants us to have this. And of course we understand that no skill, if we're going to take that word wisdom, having inherent in that word, the word to have skill, comes without discipline. Those who are skilled in various areas of life have used discipline to get to the place where they could use their skills well. Proverbs, however, deals with the most fundamental skill of all, and that is how to live practically before God. Living rightly before God. That's what Proverbs is all about. In the book of Proverbs, they says there's some things we should avoid, and there's some things that we should do. Wisdom, however, is the key word, and I believe there's two key verses. Most people say 1:7 is the key verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. 9:10, I believe, is the second key verse, which says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, helpful knowledge, true knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, 9:10. Now, the fear of the Lord, again, is mentioned a number of times in Proverbs and other portions of God's Word. I looked once and I saw a study that had 45 things, 45 results of those things that happen good in your life if you fear the Lord. By fear meaning if you give Him reverence and trust. Wonderful things can have 45 of them. That was a huge study. To fear the Lord does not mean to be afraid of Him. It means to respect the Lord, to honor Him, to love Him, to trust Him. All these things are involved in the fear of the Lord. Now, this week at BBS is called Camp Kilimanjaro. And this is a replica of the Mount Kilimanjaro. And the boys and girls are going to be taking an expedition through the book of Proverbs. I'm going to tell you exactly what they're going to be looking at. Again, we're going to be reminding them that there's a wisdom that even children can have that comes from God. Proverbs 2:6, which was read for us this morning, says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So the boys and girls are going to have a fun time. They're going to have a good time at Camp Kilimanjaro as they dig into some truths found in the book of Proverbs. In fact, there's a little formula that they're going to be hearing, and this formula is W equals H plus D. The W stands for wisdom, and the H stands for hearing, and the D stands for anybody?
Doing.
Very good. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And I heard a study a while back on the subject of self-deception. Ooh, that can be very dangerous. Lord, give me wisdom that I'm not deceived. I don't want to be deceiving myself. So the boys and girls are going to be encouraged to not only hear the word of God, but to put it into practice in their lives. So wisdom, chokmah is the Hebrew word. writer of Proverbs is actually talking about a skill for living before the Lord that actually comes from the Lord. There's so many references with regards to wisdom in the book of Proverbs. In fact, yes, it's true that wisdom comes from God, but it also must be sought. Now, I realize that there's some children who, I'll state it this way, don't like school. You know, they're really glad when summer comes because they just don't like school. But, you know, we do want our children to learn, to want to learn. That's very important. In fact, we, even as adults, we want to keep learning. We want to keep growing in the Lord. The Proverbs are just filled with instruction on the encouragement to learn and to develop spiritually. So what I'm saying at this point is that wisdom does come from God, and God gives wisdom. And we're going to close out on the essence of where we get that wisdom from. But notice in chapter 2, it says, incline your ear to 2. Incline your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for discernment, look at verse 4. If you seek her as silver, we really, as believers, we need to develop that goal within us to keep learning from the Lord, to keep receiving from Him the wisdom that we need, especially living in this day in which we're living. We had an awesome Sunday school lesson this morning on the fact that God, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and sometimes political leaders and governmental leaders make some very poor mistakes. But we have to live in the light of these. We don't have to accept them, but we have to live in the light of them. And we have to conduct ourselves as those who belong to the Lord. So if this Supreme Court decision goes down in what you and I would call the wrong way, we're going to need wisdom from God as we discuss that which our own government says should be legal in our country. We need wisdom from the Lord. A little bit now about Kilimanjaro. It's located in Tanzania, Africa. It's a dormant volcanic mountain. It's the highest mountain in Africa. It's the highest freestanding mountain in the world. In other words, it's not a part of a mountainous chain. The height of it is 19,341 feet, and it has three volcanic cones at the top. Kibo, Mwizna, and Shiro. And each of these volcanic cones has the capacity, of course, to erupt, but there's no current communication that they are at the stage or anywhere near the stage of eruption. It's one of the most interesting places on Earth, which has climate extremes and fascinating wildlife, like we see on the platform here. Fat monkeys are fascinating, and I don't know what that is. Cheetah. I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. It's a cheetah. Elephants, hippos, giraffes, they're all over there. Climbing Mount Kilimanjaro is like taking a fast trip from the equator to the North Pole, because at the base of the mountain, it's warm. And this is the name of the five climates: the savanna, the rainforest, the heather moorland, the alpine desert, but then you get up to the top and it's the Arctic zone. Very interesting to say the least. And there have been those, even in the late 1800s, early 1900s, who have climbed all the way to the top. But the first people, individuals who tried it, had some very difficult experience at that time. All right, well, lesson one, and this is really interesting, it really is, for our boys and girls this week, is going to be called Listen Up. And there are many places in the Word of God where even Jesus says, the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. And we've talked about this before, how God wants us to develop the ability to listen to him and to allow him to talk to us and minister to us. The key verse for the boys and girls is going to be Proverbs 11:20, which says, listen to counsel that you may be wise. They need to be encouraged to listen not only to their parents, but to those who are concerned for them and want to help them. There are many plans in man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. And obviously we'll be encouraging boys and girls to listen to the Word of God. It's God's uniquely inspired Word. And when you hear the Word of God, when it is given, it is God speaking to us. He speaks through His Word. Now, God does speak through other things today. He may speak to you through a committed believer who's walking in the Spirit, who may have a word of counsel for you. But the primary way that God speaks to us is through His Word. And how often have we said when we make major decisions in life, we always need to make these decisions in the light of God's Word. God has given to us much wisdom in His Word. You will recall the incident Solomon went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And the Lord said to Solomon, he said, ask what shall I give you, Solomon? And Solomon, by the way, was 19 years of age at that time. And God says to him, what shall I give you? And Solomon replied, he says, well, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked in your truth. And now I am but a young child. He was 19 years of age at the time. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people? Lord, give me the ability, now watch this, to discern between good and evil. Wow. What a prayer request. That's, Lord, I want wisdom from you. Now, I'm going to get a little critical here this morning. It is amazing how many people, even in the leadership of our own government, do not have the discernment to discern between good and evil. And I mean that. Drugs are not good for our children. A lot of other things are not good for our children. But they'll say, well, let's make it evil. Solomon prayed, and he said, Lord, give me an understanding heart that I may discern between what is good and what is wrong before you. And the saying pleased the Lord, and the Lord responded by saying, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart. And out of that wise and understanding heart that the Lord gave to Solomon, he wrote the Proverbs, most of the Proverbs, 500 of them are Solomon's. He wrote 3,000 Proverbs, 500 of them are Solomon's. And again, the wisdom from God was given to Solomon. On day two, day one again, listen to counsel that you may be wise. Our children will be encouraged to listen to the counsel that is found in the Word of God. Day two is going to be check up, check your heart. It's good to have a checkup physically. A lot of companies provide the finances for their employees to go and have a physical checkup. Well, boys and girls are going to be encouraged to be wise and have a heart that trusts the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, key verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, I'm doing also with our other youth leaders a study on 7 things that all teens need to know. Where do you hear this? The number one, all the way at the top of this list, if you were to sit down and write out your list, 7 things that teens need to know. Andy Stanley says this. Number one at the top is teens need to know what we have developed as believers. They need to know that they can trust God. Wow. They can trust God. It's very important. We trust the Lord for salvation, and obviously we're to make that clear with teens and children. But then they need to learn to trust God. And then he told why that would be all the way at the top. Because teens get to the place where they hear, we need to pray, and they learn to pray. And they start praying for things like, well, dear Lord, I pray for Grandma, she's not well. And I pray, Lord, that you'll heal Grandma, and then Grandma dies. Teenagers face this, don't they? That's why they need to learn to trust God. And they need to learn that their prayers are heard by God. And they need to learn that God doesn't always heal people. Excellent communication. There are other areas. Teens pray for things like, oh, I pray that my dearest, closest friend won't move to Canada. And guess what? The friend moves to Canada. And so they need to know how God answers prayer and why God allows certain things. Excellent study. What's the point? The point is this. Be wise and have a heart that trusts the Lord. Tuesday night, although it's going to be handled every night, they need to learn that they need to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Day three, is called Build Up. This one's powerful. It really is. Their key verse, Build Up, is Proverbs 18:21, which says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, words are very powerful. And I've been in a room with children. I've been in a room with teenagers where, I'll tell you what, they can cut each other down pretty sharply. And we want to encourage them to understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so be wise, have a tongue that speaks in a way that honors God. There are death words, and we'll be giving them an example of some death words, like when one child says to another, well, you're stupid, or I hate you. We had a man in this very church fellowship whose father said to him as he was growing up, in this very church fellowship, his father said to him, you're never going to amount to anything. And he was so mean to his son. But you know, his son trusted Christ as Savior. And he found out he didn't have a lot of contact with his father. And he flew 1,000 miles to see his father before he died. And he said, Dad, I've received Jesus as my Savior, and I hold nothing against you, things that you said to me. And I said, I can't believe all that you covered on your own in order to make things right between you and your father. But his father talked down to his son and never really ever encouraged him. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Words are very powerful. There's another verse, by the way, Proverbs 16:24, which says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Now don't miss this now. This is powerful. They are sweetness to the soul, that's the inner person, and they are health to the bones. In other words, good and edifying conversation can help people in the inner person, but it can also help somebody physically. And there are a lot of people, mark it down, who are not well physically because they're hearing things that pull them down on the inside, in turn affect the outside, affects their physical health. I could give you examples of this that I've discussed with others down through the years. It's so important that we, again, the kids are going to learn to build up, to encourage others. We need to do it. And we're going to jump all the way over to day five. That's the day of the cheetah. Be wise. Have feet that walk with the wise. This is good counsel for us. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Other translations say, will suffer harm. Repeat. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise. And we want to encourage our children and our teens to choose friends that are going to edify them, that are going to build them up in the things of the Lord. And the use of the cheetah that night The cheetah is an amazing animal. It's the fastest land animal in the world, which they're able to reach speeds up to 70 miles an hour. You know, some of our cars can't do that. 70 miles an hour. And of course, a cheetah reminds us to stay in the race of the Christian life, but a cheetah reminds us to run away from things that will be harmful to us. And parents teach their children to watch out for things that can be harmful to them. And there's a number of verses on this. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust. Flee from situations where you might really be tempted to sin. Flee from situations that can be very bad and be harmful to you. He who walks with wise men will be wise." And then there's a whole example of people who have friends. Just a list this long of if a friend says this, if a friend says this, if a friend says this, if a friend does this. One example is a teenager once said, "I have a friend of mine who has a very bad temper." Well, Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, lest you learn his ways." And there are a number of passages of Scripture that encourage our children and encourage our teens in relationship to friendships. So day one, be wise, have ears to hear, and do the Word of God. Day two, be wise and have a heart that's open to the truth of God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Day three, be wise and have a tongue that speaks things that build up others. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Day four, be wise, have hands that get to work. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works unto the Lord, and even your thoughts will be established. Day five, be wise and have feet that walk with those who are wise. Lastly, when you look in the Bible on the subject of wisdom, you find that the Bible is very clear that your Savior and my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the wisdom of God. I'll give you the reference. It's 1 Corinthians 1:24, where it says, "Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God." You remember in Scripture that the Queen of Sheba was stunned by the wisdom of King Solomon. And she made this long journey to go over to Jerusalem. And she heard so much about Solomon, how wise this man was, and all the riches that Solomon had. And she made this long journey, and she went over there, and she saw all the things that he had, and ate at his household. And the text of Scripture says, in 1 Kings 10:5, there was no more breath in her. In other words, she gave him question, and it took her breath away. But Jesus said to the people of his generation, "The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here among you." And of course, that was Jesus Christ himself. No one has ever been as wise as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we go to. And please keep this in mind. Just remember that word wisdom, which means skill in living before God. You and I, as maturing believers, we need to learn to go to the Lord. If we find an area in our lives and we lack concern, we lack wisdom in this area, what does it say in James 1? If you lack wisdom, go to the Lord who gives to all men wisdom. Jesus invites us to do this in Matthew 11. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest and learn of me." Oh, boy. I'm not going to forget that. Jesus said, "Get wisdom from me." God said in the Scriptures, Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. And when it says Christ is the power of God, we've already tasted that as believers. We've tasted the fact that the Lord has the ability to change us. Once we were here and now we're here. Once we were lost and now we're saved. Jesus did that. And he's the one who wants us to come to him and learn of me, he said. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Christ is the wisdom of God. Let's pray together.